This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Kelly. I'm from Glasgow. I decided to join the community, and I can honestly say it is the best gift I've ever given to myself. The support you get from Shaz, Ben and the community members is second to none. The forums are great. We cover a lot of topics in there and we have a laugh, but ultimately we're there to support each other. Being able to access the forums via the app on the go is so helpful. If you're out and about and you have a wobble or you're having a bad day, there's always someone there in the forum who has felt like you feel and can offer some support and advice. The game changer for me has definitely been the Zooms. I still remember how nervous I was joining that first Zoom, but within 5 minutes, I would feel at ease. I absolutely love them and look forward to them now. Everyone on there is so lovely. There's no judgment at all. Everyone's got a different experience and different drinking habits, but we all have so much in common. I would urge anyone who is listening to this podcast who wants to take a break from alcohol to give it a go.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. I'm dead excited. It is still the festive season. You are listening to this on Boxing Day, and we certainly hope you are having a fantastic AF festive period. My name is Sharon Hartley, chuffed to bits to be chatting to you, singing about sobriety. I'm from Lancashire in the northwest of England, mum to three kids, husband to one, got a beagle, got a tortoise as well. Don't think I've ever mentioned that on the podcast before now, but there you go. There's a new fact. And he's called Humphrey. Not here to talk about my pets, here to talk about alcohol-free life. I've been doing this shiz for about 4 and a bit years now, and to cut a very long story short, I decided to take a break from alcohol back end of the summer 2018. It was only ever going to be a break. In fact, I was going to get right back on it just in time for Can't Remember December. But something really weird started to happen. I began to enjoy it. I thought, oh my goodness, crikey, this is fun. This is happening. It's true what they say. And then I fell in love with all things sobriety. Absolutely life-changing stuff. The best thing I ever did. The other best thing I ever did was start this podcast with my co-host, new dad, Ben Anderson, looking actually, I think, slightly less tired than previous weeks, Ben.
Thank you, Shaz. Yeah, I've been getting a bit more sleep in recently. We're in a routine now. Leo's 10 weeks old, 11 weeks old, 10 or 11 weeks old. And it feels like we kind of got things a bit more sorted. But yeah, I'm Ben. I'm 34. I live in Liverpool. You're listening to this on Boxing Day, but you are, of course, recording it before then. We're recording it. Christmas hasn't happened yet. But isn't it lovely, Shaz? I can say that I had a fabulous alcohol-free Christmas yesterday because I'm now confidently alcohol-free. There's nothing in my mind that makes me think, we'll have a drink on Christmas Day. No, I don't drink. And I haven't drunk now for 2.5 years. Alcohol-free life really suits me. And I love it. I was trying to think, what have I got? What fact have I got that I've never told you, Chaz? Because I never knew you had a tortoise called Herbert.
No, he's called Humphrey Hercules Humphrey. Hartley.
Never knew that.
Did you
and
know?
You know, we've known each other for, we've been doing this podcast for 3 years. So I can't believe I didn't know that. I've got a bronze pig on my desk, which Millie called Gerald, because I'm also stepdad to Millie and Alfie.
Okay.
And I'm fiancé to Jem. Gerald, and I won Gerald at the weekend because we did a lad's day where we booked an Airbnb in the countryside and we all played FIFA. We went to the most beautiful part of the country and sat inside a house and played FIFA. And I won Gerald, the brass pig, because I didn't win the tournament because I'm not good enough at the computer game FIFA to win. I got Gerald the pig as a participation trophy. It's so sad, isn't it?
That's what counts, isn't it? It's the taking part that counts, Ben.
It's called the spirit of the tournament trophy. But it basically means the person who isn't very good but tried really hard.
Oh,
so
bless.
I've got Gerald on my desk. Shall we talk to our guest about alcohol-free life?
I think we should. I think we absolutely should. Also, as well, I just want to quickly squeeze in. You're listening to this on Boxing Day. We both know that we've not got a hangover today. And it's the stuff of dreams to
it's
have
the best thing ever.
A clear head on Boxing Day. I mean, who knew? It's good, isn't it? It's a good feeling. Let's get into chatting to our guest today. And I'm chuffed to bits. I love every single guest that comes on the podcast. We both do. We really, really do. So many stories of recovery, of sobriety, of oversharing, all of it. But for us, it's always really special when we have a guest who happens to be a community member. Davina from Devon has been with us pretty much since the very, very early days, since the beginning. Davina, welcome to Over the Influence and a very Merry Christmas.
I've been looking around my desk trying to think if there's any fun fact I can tell you about me, but I suspect we might get into some of that as we go through. But yes, I am very much looking forward to waking up on Boxing Day for my second year alcohol-free Christmas. And I feel like I'm definitely going to go. I've gone into this one a lot more certain and assured than I did last year. So I think I'm going to enjoy it a lot more this year than I did last year.
Ace, it's fabulous to have you here. Now, what I want to do is rewind, and you might know where I'm going to take you with this very first question. Okay, so I can see Davina's waving a pad at her. She's got loads of notes. You know what, Davina? Put the pad to one side. Put the notes to one side, because everything we're going to chat about, it'll come from you, and I can pretty much guarantee you won't need any prompting at all. When you first joined this community, however many months ago it is now, in some ways it only feels like yesterday, but it's not. You were anxious, you were nervous, you were doubtful, all the things you associate with this starting out on an alcohol-free journey. And you were on one of my Zoom calls, one of my very, very early Zoom calls, and I can remember it so, so well. You were in the garden and you were crouched behind a wall and you were going, oh my God, I can't do this. Take me back to that time and what you remember about it.
I'd been toying with the idea of going alcohol free for quite a while. I mean, I'm sure I'll get into the history of me, but I just thought actually getting a bit of help and support would be really good. I'd been looking to the podcasts, and I remember the very early days, Shaz, when you shouted out my name because I thought you were a cup of tea. I was so excited. It was just like, woohoo!
You did!
And I just thought, well, if I'm going to sign up to do this, I need to throw myself into it, as you like to say, full R. So I signed up for it, and my kids were upstairs doing whatever it was they were doing in their bedrooms. And I just thought, I'll go and sit outside and nobody will hear. And I've just got to keep an eye out, and I'll see them come in and I'll just sort of join. And so I was a bit sort of nervous because I just didn't know what to expect, really. And I joined on day one, the day the community came out, because I had massive FOMO. I thought, if I don't do it, oh my God, what are we going to miss? So that was me signed up. But no, it was really good. Just sat there, felt very welcome. Not sure I said very much, but yeah.
You didn't need to, actually. I think just being there at that point was enough. I can see that Ben's eager to jump in here.
Well, no, I'm just doing some maths, because the community launched in July 2021. When did you go alcohol-free, Davina?
3 months later.
Okay.
So I'd had periods of not drinking. So I took my kids to London during that summer holiday. I had a fantastic time with them and just went out and about. I did absolutely shed loads with them. And then I went back and had a two-week holiday where I did the usual drinking every day. And it's just getting to stage where going, actually, I could have this and do loads, or have this and feel shite. And I just thought, I know where I'm gonna end up. And I think I was toying with the idea, wasn't I, Ben, in the Zooms, because I was going, oh well, I'm doing moderation. I'm moderating, but I was like, not really sure. I've tried moderation, and I know it's just too much going on in the head. Yeah, am I going to drink today? Am I not? What am I going to drink, et cetera, et cetera. And I think you said, Ben, try 100 days. And I thought, well, why not? So I announced it, and I got the, are you not drinking for Christmas? And you just go, no, I'll just do 100 days and see how it goes. And that's it. I'm on, I've just checked my app, funny enough, 427 days today. And I just go, I don't get it. I don't, how did I get here? I'm just so, It just yeah, shocks me.
Well, before we get to how did you get here, because I remember that first day, I remember you going, right, oh, for God's sake, I'm just going to do it. And you did it in your kind of very understated way. Oh, fine, go on then. I'll give it a go just to shut you up. It was basically, it felt like that was the sentiment, demeanor at the time. But you've done it and you're here, and I can't wait to talk to you about. No, I just want to skip ahead to that bit in the episode because I love your story so much, because we've watched it right from the very beginning to where you are now. I've got to say, Davina, you're a different woman. And I don't know if you feel that within yourself, but just looking in, and I can see a different person in front of me on this Zoom screen to the person that joined those very first calls. But can you take us back and talk to us about your drinking and what your drinking was like when you were a drinker?
Yeah, so I started going to the pub about 13 years old with my dad on a Friday night. So my mum would be working till about 8 o'clock, so I went to my dad. To the pub with my dad for a couple of hours, and I was sitting in there playing pool, and I remember then going out the fish and chips afterwards, so it was a real nice treat. By 15 I was out, and because I looked a bit older, I was out and I was in nightclubs. And then by the time I got to uni, I could drink with the best of them, basically. I was the one who would I would quite happily go out at lunchtime, go home, have a couple of hours sleep, and then go out later. So I got the, you know, I got the drinking person's degree, I got the 2-2. I'll blame Ladette culture or whatever it was, but I could drink most people under the table even by then. I was drinking a couple of litres of cider every single night, absolutely no understanding of how bad that it was for me. And then actually I got to the end of my 20s and I wanted to give up smoking. So somebody at work said to me, well, if you're going to give up smoking, you're going to put on weight. Come to the slimming club with me. So I thought, okay, I don't really feel like I need to lose weight, but fine, I went to slimming club with them. And then I realised just how many calories were in the cider that I was drinking. So I stopped drinking my cider and I started having a bottle of wine on a Friday night. And then I go to my 30s, I got married, had a couple of kids. Everything all started to go a bit wrong. So it took me about a year to get divorced. And at that stage, my drinking ramped massively up. I was drinking at least a bottle of wine every day, if not more, more at weekends. So just quite a lot. And at that stage as well, I was watching my dad, who'd been a really good social drinker and an absolute laugh and a joy during my teenagers. He had retired, they'd moved to Spain. My dad was drinking far too much, all day, every day, pretty much. And I just watched him get worse and worse at a time where my drinking myself was far too much because of getting divorced. So he died in 2013, so nearly 10 years ago now, which is probably when my drinking was still every day. And you just go, well, hang on a minute. I've grown up thinking drinking is really good. It's quite sociable. It's a bit of a laugh. It is glamorized. And I've watched my dad, a really funny, lovely man, just completely destroy himself because of his drinking. And you just go, this isn't right. There's something not quite right here. So you just start thinking about actually the other sort of side effects of things. So I decided then I was going to cut back on my drinking and go back to just drinking at the weekend. When I did it in my 20s and I decided to stop drinking cider, I stopped. I had absolutely no problem stopping. I didn't struggle in any way, shape or form. But when I decided to stop drinking wine, it wasn't easy to do at all. It was a lot more difficult than I thought it was going to be. So I just spent a few years just trying to get back to drinking at weekend and just sort of moderating, however you want to describe it. I did dry Januaries. I did 60 days here and there, but I always sort of went back to my default thing of having wine at a weekend. Probably in part because it's the thing that's got less calories in. So I'm always trying to weigh up how much I'm drinking with what my food intake is and therefore what my weight is. So that all things were so totally linked. It was quite mad. Anyway, So quite happy, back to weekend drinking. Then lockdown happened, COVID happened. So when everybody was going out buying the loo rolls, I was out there buying the cider, went back to daily drinking. And then you just go, about 3 months later, somebody said to me, right, I think that's enough now. We need to sort of stop and go back to, and I was like, I was quite disappointed. And my brain was like going, what the hell is going on? So it was a massive warning to me that actually, I'll say I sorted myself out. I'd got over the divorce and sort of dealt with all of that. But actually, there's always that thing there and that opportunity for me to go back to drinking every day. And therefore, I need to protect myself from that and make sure that I cut it all off and go, right, that's it. I'm out. I've had enough. I don't need this noise in my head. I just need to go, no, I'm going to stop. Because actually something terrible happens. If my mum died or my husband or my kids, I would just, my default position was having a drink. It's the whole thing about whether you're happy, whether you're sad, celebrating, holidays, all the rest of it. You deal with it all in the same way.
Davina, thank you so much. Thank you. I know that was, it's really emotional to talk about it. It's really painful. And again, it just highlights the fact, doesn't it, that the alcohol, oh, it's all fun and games. Until you try to stop drinking yourself, until you are dealing with the death of a family member. I'm really interested, if you don't mind, and you don't have to answer this, to ask you about your thoughts on losing your dad to alcohol. And just rewind a little bit further when you said that actually when you tried to stop drinking yourself the wine, it's really hard. Did that make you see your dad's struggles in a different light, having gone through it yourself? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. You sort of, it's the thing people say, isn't it? All right, you're drinking too much, you need to stop drinking, and you just think it's really easy, and that's it, you know. You don't hear the other side of it all, because it's all just glamorized, and the other side of it isn't sort of sold. So My dad had about 6 months where he actually stopped drinking, but he went back to it because he didn't know another way to sort of deal with it. And that was him, and that was who he was. So you realise it's like, it's a disease. It's not something that if you get as far down the line as you did, like my dad did, it's not a choice. So, but the support isn't out there, and especially because he was in Spain, there was no support there for him at all. And the culture and where they lived just absolutely played into the thing about actually, if you wanted a social life, your social life completely revolved around the pub. And that's what he'd done for 20 odd years. And I think if you've done that for 20, 30 years, then that's your default position. But it does, when you see people who drink, you just think it's or in the way that my dad did, you know that he's not got any, it's not because you want to do it. So it's like me when I decided I just wanted to cut it off. You don't do it because you want to do it, because you get to a stage where it's not fun anymore. You just realize that actually all the fun that you had probably in your teenage years and in your 20s, it goes. So it just, yeah, I've just caught up with where I should have been probably 20, 30 years ago.
Davina, I'm not going to reveal where you work, but how do I put this? You understand how the healthcare system works in the UK. Why do you think that support isn't there for people who are having these, as you just talked about with your dad, there, it wasn't a choice for him. Why isn't the support there from places like the NHS?
I guess the honest answer I think there is, it's all about people who are taking drugs and have got drug problems. So that's what all the support is based around, and alcohol isn't seen in the same way. You know, it's probably 20, 30 years behind where we are now with if you want to give up smoking. You know, I decided I wanted to give up smoking, or must have given up smoking at least 6-7 times, whatever, during my life. But, you know, you want to stop smoking, you go to the NHS and you go, yeah, okay, do you want some patches? Do you want this? Do you want this? And they put it in, and you get a choice. I'm assuming it's similar with if you've got the same issue with drugs. But I think people just, you know, it's almost like people make light of drinking. Drinking is okay. Drinking is fine for people to do, and everybody does it. So it's just looked on differently, and I don't think it's very well understood.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we should clarify here. Like, Shaz, me and you know people who have had that support, you know, but I think it's what we're talking about here, and Davina, you just touched on it there, is that it's not as forthcoming, that support. You have to dig a bit for that support, I think, in the UK anyway. And we've also heard stories, for example, where someone will go to talk to their doctor about their drinking, and they've been told, oh, you're not that bad. Yeah, but it's making me feel anxious. It's making me feel this way. Oh, yeah, but the units, you're not drinking enough units for us to help. That's something we've genuinely heard. And I think, didn't we hear that on the podcast, Shaz? Didn't Jane McKenzie talk about
it?
That?
It was an awful...
With her daughter who died from alcohol. Awful. She was told she wasn't drinking enough when...
And it was evident she was drinking herself to death. It was absolutely horrific. But because she wasn't hitting a particular quota of units, we can't help you. And it's like, oh my God, if ever there were a case for help, this is it. And yeah, Jane lost her daughter and now dedicates her life to doing what she can to help others. And it was horrendous. It was a heartbreaking story.
Davina, can we bring it back to you and your drinking? We will move on to the fabulous bit soon, don't you worry, about when you removed alcohol and it was the key that opened many doors. but just a little bit more about your kind of growing up, because how old are you, Davina? I know you shouldn't ask a lady, and feel free to give us a bracket, you know, like you're filling in a form. 34 to 45.
Can I just mention that? I'm in the next bloody bracket and it's really pissing me off, Davina. I'd like to think I look really youthful, and now I'm ticking these boxes.
Well, alcohol-free life has taken years off you, Sharon.
Although
the number might say...
thank you for sugarcoating that compliment in there. And actually talking about...
You're very welcome. It's Christmas.
Yeah, Davina's looking really shiny-faced. You've got that AF glow. We are going off on a weird tangent here. Ben asked your age, Davina, sorry.
No, how rude is that though, eh, Shaz? I mean, I'm a year older than you.
I cannot believe you're 50. Like... I'm not doing what I was just doing with Shaz. You know, I genuinely mean it. You don't look anyway. but you really don't look 50. The reason I want to ask is because you mentioned earlier about how, you know, you grew up thinking that drinking was great, that drinking was cool, and that you could drink with the best of them. And he talks about the ladette culture. Were you a proud drinker growing up? So this would be kind of in the 90s in the UK. Were you a proud drinker?
I was a very proud drinker. I was, I thought it was fun. I liked going out and get pissed. I liked the chaos from doing it. I thought it made me louder, funnier, more liked. And I think you hear it time and time again when you talk to people on the podcast about people with just helps with the confidence. I mean, I went to an all-girls school, and the first time a guy came up to talk to me when I was 15, I ran off because I was that shy. And I just like go, what the fuck? Can I swear? What the fuck? Because I don't recognise that person now. From where I was at that age to where I am now, it's just, but I was really shy, and it just increased my confidence levels. And, you know, at the end of the day, I could do the drinking at the weekend and do my job during the week. So, you know, there's no problem there, is there? Because if you go back to what do you think the typical problem drinkers are, well, they are the ones who are drinking out of sleeping on a park bench without a house and all the rest of it. I've got a job, I've got kids, I've got a house. Everything's fine, right?
It just looks like that for so many people. So many people. She's got shit together. He's doing all right, you know, holding down a job, functioning absolutely fine.
The reason I picked up on it is because you used the word ladette. And I just think this is a really interesting thing, because that was the culture at the time. It was Sarah Cox, wasn't it? It's Zoe Ball. It was basically women saying we can drink as well as the men can drink. You know, it wasn't necessarily just something that kind of personally made you feel more confident or whatever else. It was part of that culture, wasn't it? That actually women are, we can do anything we want to bloody do. And if I want to drink a fucking pint, I'm going to drink a pint, mate. And I'll drink it as fast as you, and I'll drink as many as you. And I just think that, isn't it interesting that that was a culture that, you know, was so empowering in so many ways, but also so almost accidentally damaging, that alcohol played a part in that culture. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I went to a pub, I wanted a pint. You know, I didn't want a single vodka. I'd want a double vodka. Probably have a pint and a vodka together. You know, all the rest. Yeah, it's really, really empowering. But the bit that you're completely missing from that, and the bit that I think is still not really out there, is just how damaging it can be. You know, if you choose to smoke, you know the perils of smoking. You know exactly what it's going to do to you. You might not see what it does to you internally. You might, you know, you tell by your skin or whatever, but you go into that with your eyes wide open, and you know exactly now what you're letting yourself in for if you choose to smoke. But you do not get that with drinking. So it's the glamorized part of that, and it's socially acceptable to drink. It's like, you know, I don't know, Ben, I'm sure if you were a drinker, you'd be getting a little baby grow that says about my baby has a bottle too, or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, or you know, wow, you've got a baby, here's your card, and it's got a picture of a drink on it. It's just so ingrained in society. But then I look at my two kids, they're 15 and 17, and neither of them drink. And I'm just like going, oh my God, if I, you know, by their age, when I think about how I was, I'm like, oh my fucking God, I've got two really square kids, but actually I'm really pleased. I don't know how I've managed it, but, you know.
Leads really nicely on to what I wanted to ask about next, which is about being a parent that doesn't drink, and how you have changed the narrative and the story for your family. You know, as a daughter, you lost your dad, and it doesn't get any more painful. And you have now removed alcohol from your life, and you've just told us that your teenage children don't drink. You have taken you and your family down the opposite path. And for that, Davina, alone, oh my God, you must feel really, really proud.
I am proud, but I also think there's a bit there about they're in a different era. So like I say, my era, age group, whatever, it was acceptable to go out and get pissed, and everybody was doing it. I think their era, my 17-year-old comes home round with her friends and she bakes cakes, and I can't get my head around it. It's just such a weird alien thing. So I don't know whether the way they are is because they've seen me, because really I'm a relatively newbie on the not drinking front. I'm only, you know, I'm a year and whatever many days. But they have seen both sides of me as well. They've seen the drunk me, and they've seen the sober me, and they much prefer the sober me. So every now and then I might take the mic and go, oh, I might start drinking again. They just go, please don't, mum.
I think you are 1,000,000% selling yourself short there, and the impact that you have had on your children, without a doubt. We talk a lot about this within the community, about the impact, you know, drinking as a parent has on them. I'm like you. I've got three kids, a little bit older, 22, 19 and 14. Of course, the 14-year-old doesn't drink. The older two, they don't really touch it that much these days. And it's no coincidence that I don't drink anymore. And one thing I'm really, really passionate about, a message that I like to share, at the risk of sounding a tad wanky, but, you know, c'est la vie, is that when you are drinking, your children are watching absolutely everything. They're watching every single step. And when you remove the alcohol, they are watching even more closely. They really are. And, you know, you're not going to get fanfares and trumpets and a round of applause from your kids. Oh, well done, you are. Aren't you great for not drinking booze? They don't say a great deal, but your impact and your influence is evident in their actions. You've got two kids, Davina, that don't drink. If you were drinking, do you think that would be the case? I could put money on it that it wouldn't be. We We are just going to take a very quick break from this ace episode. I'm loving this chat with Davina for so many reasons. I think one of the biggest reasons is we've seen this transformation, Ben, right in front of our eyes, right within the community, just all of it. I don't know where to start. In fact, really, we should keep this really, really brief and let Davina get back to telling her story. But I'll tell you what, the community, the connections, the coming into OTI, a little bit nervous. What's going on here? And just listen to her now. For me, it makes my heart sing.
Sharon, we've seen Davina's transformation. And now, dear listener, we want to see yours.
We do.
Yes. If you are thinking about it, if you are sober curious, you haven't quite taken the leap yet into full alcohol-free life, give it a go. It's fabulous. It changes everything.
Yeah.
And there's so many people now where, and you know, we're going to talk to Davina later about some more of the changes that she's experienced after going alcohol-free. But she really is a different person in so many ways. And she's probably in very many ways very similar to how she was before. But alcohol, just when you remove it, it just removes some of the fog and some. I remember the episode that Ben Anderson, the producer, scroll back and listen to that one if you haven't heard that yet. But Jen was on it and she said that it was just kind of like she saw this really great person inside me, but the alcohol was just kind of misting it. It was just kind of fogging it, and it was
hide who you are.
Just putting a bit of a barrier in the way of that really great thing that was inside.
Yeah.
Look, this isn't about me. It's all about me.
It's
I hope
not
you're
about
enjoying
me,
but
go
my
on.
Podcast.
Carry on.
But no, look, it is transformational. If you take the leap and you go for it, it can be absolutely, completely, innocently life-changing. We'd love to see you give this a go. And you know what? Just try 100 days. Yep. Just try 100 days. We say it enough and it obviously gets through because it worked with Davina. Right, should we go back to the episode? Oh! We should probably give the website address, overtheinfluence.co.uk, if you want to join us.
You're listening to this and you might be heading towards a dry January thinking, you know what, I'm going to give it a go. All I'll say is this, what's the worst that can happen? That's it. What's the worst that can happen? Because I know Davina didn't really want to join the community. You know, she had her nerves, didn't she, and her reservations. And she thought, what's the worst that can happen? And here she is now talking to you on this episode, just smashing AF Life, and it's absolutely brilliant. overtheinfluence.co.uk, and we'd love to hear your story in 12 months' time.
Right, let's get back to Davina. She starts taking the mickey out of you soon, Charles.
Oh, Kel surprise. Kel surprise, Davina.
Before we move on, I'd love to talk a little bit more about this generational thing, because I'm not trying to belittle what you're saying, Shaz, at all. Like, absolutely, your kids are watching you. They always are. Like, I mean, Leo's bloody 10 or 11. I can't remember. 10 or 11 weeks old. I think he's 11. Yeah, I think he's 12.
When this podcast comes out, I think he might be 12.
I think you're right. Okay,
yeah,
good.
I usually am, but anyway.
Definitely check this before I go downstairs after this podcast recording has ended, just in case it comes up in conversation. But he watches everything that we do. Alfie and Millie, they just watch. And I think that it absolutely, you know, that plays a huge part when you're an alcohol-free parent. They can see that there is a different way of doing this. I do think, though, also it is a generational shift. And Davina, I think this is why I'm so interested in talking about that Ladette thing, because in a way you were a casualty of the culture. You were a casualty of the Ladette culture. You didn't know the dangers of this. You saw the benefits and you were sold the upsides in glamorous, glitzy packaging, but you didn't necessarily understand the dangerous sides of this until later on in life. I mean, both play into each other, don't they? That the more parents who decide to remove alcohol like we've done shows it as a different way. But I also do think that this generation they are different to the generations that have gone before them. It's almost like a confidence of this generation to not necessarily have to conform in the same way that, you know, I definitely felt it, you know, wanting to be part of the pack. That's one of the main reasons that I drank, was to be in and amongst the crowd and doing what everyone else did. I don't know, it feels like they're not so bothered by that. But I just think it's interesting, and I'm sure we'll talk about this on more of the community Zoom calls as we go forward. Because I think that casualty of the culture thing, it's something that I've been thinking about a lot recently, because it links in, Chaz, to you know, people who say that they look back on their drinking days and they feel embarrassment or they feel shame. Again, we separate the substance from the person. I think this is part of it. It's, well, you didn't know the dangers of this. So you can't go back and blame yourself for how you drank or feel shame about the things that happened as a result of you drinking. This was just a culture that you were born into and that you grew up in. And that's the bit that we're trying to change, isn't it? It's that kind of societal bit. But then, hey, we don't need to do anything because the kids are doing it already all on their own, she has. So, you know, Charlie, Joey, young and sober. But they are. Yeah, they are making these choices that we didn't make.
Again, is this an age thing? You know, when you're our age, when you're in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and beyond, and you're going, I am not drinking alcohol. You don't have to say forever. At the moment, I'm not drinking alcohol. You are laughed at. You are scorned. You have the piss taken out of you. You ask people, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? Obviously, there's got to be a problem. You think to our kids, 17, 18, 19, you know, early 20s, and when they say, I'm not drinking, no one cares. Like, literally, I think it's quite cool to actually say at this younger age, you know, is there more respect?
Come on, Chaz. We don't know what's cool and what's not.
You speak for yourself. Know. I'm very trendy. Thank you.
To be fair, I did hear Chaz go in to see her son earlier. She went, all right. I was on the phone to Chaz. She went, all right, son, big up your bad self. And I thought, oh, that's an interesting way of
In fact, if you ever have to use the word trendy, you're absolutely not trendy. I get that. But, you know, I try.
It's changing though, Chaz. It's changing. 2023, the big lifestyle, I'm predicting it now, the big lifestyle trend of 2023 is something that we've all known for ages, alcohol-free life. You wait. Next year is going to be a game-changing year.
It's just mad though, isn't it? It's mad that in your 30s and your 40s, you say you're not drinking, you boring dick, what's wrong with you? Say it in your late teens and early 20s, big up your bad self, yeah, well done. You know, let's do something different. I don't think it's questioned as much. And that sister, Davina, is why we're fighting this.
I think as well, though, with the sort of generational thing, social media wasn't around when we were about, and the information you can get from social media and the requirement or the expectation for people to go out there and look glamorous and, you know, all be fit and all of those. So those things have almost taken over the sort of requirement to drink. Because actually, if you want this persona of yourself being in control and living my best life, darling, and all of those bits, well, you're definitely not doing that if you're pissed in the corner. So I think that it's a shift because of that as well. So people are really, you know, the fitness industry is just massively ramped up, isn't it? And sort of beauty treatments and all the other bits you can go and get. And I just think those bits are almost, yeah. So it's a shift from expected to go out and get absolutely shedded and like bond with everybody, and that's what you always do when you go out, to actually want to go out for a nice meal and I want to look glam and do all the other bits that go with it. So yeah,
which probably brings about its own problems that I could go on about forever. So let's not do that. Let's come and bring it back to you, Davina. Chaz, are you happy that we've dug enough into Davina's past?
Probably too much for her liking, but, you know,
present.
Davina knew what she was getting into when she said yes.
Did you, Davina? Can we clarify that and get that on the record?
Well, I don't know, really. I'm just going to look out the contract that we all signed up, and I'm just not sure. Okay. Not sure. I said I was going to talk about not drinking at all. I think I'm on the wrong podcast.
Okay. Just to clarify for legal reasons, I do need you to say yes on the tape now. I do need you to say yes.
No.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, moving on.
Davina, when we met, you were a moderator and you were planning on being a moderator for a long time. The full-ass alcohol-free life thing wasn't necessarily for you, but you decided to go for it and give it a go. Can you tell us, first of all, why? Like, what was that? What happened in that shift? Because so many people listening to this will be moderating. What made you go, right, you mentioned briefly earlier about, you know, removing the noise. Was that the main thing?
So, like I said, over the years, I've done like the dry Septembers and the dry Januaries, and I've done the 30 days, and there's always a bit about counting down to when you can next have a drink. The longest period I did was probably about 40-50 days, and you start to really feel the impact and the difference on it. So there was that side of it. And then there's, of course, the bit where you've got you in your head listening to your pod all the way going on about ain't great.
That's one of the worst descriptions.
You got all that going on. So it's like, okay, I'll give it a go. I'll try it. I'm going to treat it as an experiment, and I'll see what it looks like at the end of the 100 days, because 100 days out of the lifespan of my life is not very
not long, is it?
I can choose at any point to have a drink. It's only me that's decided I'm not going to do it. So I got to the end of the 100 days, and Shaz went, "Ain't it great, love?"
So where am I from, Davina? Where am I from? Is that South Africa? I'm not sure.
I have to say that Davina's impression of you is almost as good as my impression of
you.
Alcohol-free life, isn't it brilliant? Isn't it fantastic?
Isn't it lovely? It's fabulous. Can I have a nice cup of tea?
Wow. Did you decide then on 100 days, Davina, that you were, you know, was it forever on 100 days after that? Or was was there another target in mind?
I think I did the 100, and then I thought, oh, shit, I quite like this. And then I thought, well, I'll just keep going until some reason turns up for me to be able to have a drink. Because at the end of the day, like I keep saying, it's up to me when I have one, et cetera, et cetera. And it just, nothing has happened that has made me go, actually, yeah, I want to drink. So I've had my 50th, I've had, you know, various things, and you just go, no, there's nothing has happened that would add to the occasion in any way, shape or form by having a drink. So I'm a never say never, but at the moment I'm quite happy carrying on as I am. So yeah. So your little Ben worm has got in the little brain and is just...
Ben's worm? What was that bit then?
Just going on about it. Try 100 days. Try it. Yeah. Try it.
I did. I was like a bit of a stuck record, wasn't I? And it's because I knew from all the conversations that we were having, I knew that you wanted to do this. I knew that you wanted to be fully alcohol free. And there was just this internal noise. And we didn't strong arm you into it, but we just strongly encouraged a 100-day break, because I knew, we talk about the 100 days all the time, because that is enough time, isn't it, to start feeling the benefits. You don't feel them straight away. It takes longer to feel the kind of the full spectrum of benefits of alcohol-free life than 100 days. But I do think that 100 days is that kind of, it's almost that little tipping point where you go, blimey, that's triple figures. I've done that consecutively. So it's that kind of confidence builder, 100 days, isn't it, that I can do this. Davina, talk to us then about, you haven't had something that's come up that's made you go, I want to have a drink. Even though you've done your 50th birthday, I know you've been to loads of gigs over the summer as well. You're always doing stuff. You've done holidays, you've done weekends away. You're always doing stuff, but obviously none of that would have been enhanced by having an alcoholic drink, and that's amazing. What are the other benefits that you felt then of alcohol-free life?
I think consistency of every day. I think confidence as well, and you just your increase in confidence. I think the way, you know, I've lost a little bit of weight, I think I look a lot better. You do say it's an anti-aging thing. I do agree with that. You mentioned about the gigs and stuff. There's various things we've talked about doing, and I've just gone, right, when are we doing it? When are we doing it? Right, we're going to do that. Okay, we're going to do it. Let's book it now. So I've had a bit of a mad month, but I've gone and done a lot more. So I do things rather than talk about doing things. I just feel happier, I think, as well. I think that's the other bit that doesn't get talked about as well. I think the impact on your mental health and the way you view yourself and you see yourself is totally different. I think the way your brain processes things as well is a lot more positive. So I always try and see the good in any situation. So if you've had a bad day at work, you can just go, yeah, but at least X, Y, and Z. Or, you know, this terrible thing's happened, but at least X, Y, and Z. So you see the positive in things rather than going, oh, well, it's all been a really rubbish day at work because this has happened and they were rude and blah, 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 and you just go, it's just a day at work. Don't overthink it. Don't over-catastrophize things. It's just a day at work, or whatever else it is.
Before we wrap this episode up, Davina, I just want to take you right back to the start of the episode when we began chatting, and that Zoom call, crouching behind the wall in the garden, nervous, anxious, thinking, "Crikey, what is this all about?" I think what you've not done in this episode, which is something that me and Ben can do, is actually highlight quite how much you have transformed. Ben touched on this. He spoke about the fact that you are now a different woman. The transformation is breathtaking. Right at the beginning of the episode, I get so emotional. I get so emotional seeing community members join us on day one, or whatever it might be, and then just start. And you listen to Ben, you thought, "I'm just going to do 100 days. And you just said it yourself before. Shit, it's working. Oh, God, it's working. None of us wanted it to work. None of us wanted it to work. From that very first Zoom call where you could barely make eye contact, and I don't even think you actually said too much at all, but you showed up, you did it. You know, the want was there. You now host bloody Zoom calls in the community. You have your own Zoom calls and you are now chatting to other people that are coming in. I mean, look at your face. When I said that, you are so proud. And me and Ben, I mean, you've called me Auntie Shaz before. Please do, because I feel like a proud auntie. I feel like I'm really proud. Auntie Shaz and Uncle Ben are really, really proud of you, Davina. This is sounding really weird. Give us a hug. But it's true. You came in and you did something that you didn't think possible, and you've changed the story, not just for you, but for your children as well, and probably for the rest of your bloody life. And it's absolutely glorious. So from us, thank you for stumbling across us. Thank you for giving us a chance, even though you've taken the piss out of us quite a lot during this episode. We will let that go. That is fine. But just thank you for being an amazing community member and now reaching back to help others, you know, who might find themselves where you were 400 and odd days ago. Davina, you're flipping wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
One of our community members, Neil, has just posted in the chat, "I was on that Zoom where Davina was crouching behind the wall, and I was on the Zoom she hosted on her day 365. An amazing transformation and a proper inspiration. Big up yourself, Davina. This community loves you." From Neil, the sober cyclist.
Don't look. See, eyes gone again. Done it again. Stop.
So just before we go, because we are going to do our ATI Secret Santa soon, aren't we,
yes,
Sharon? I did see your private message.
I've just DM'd you.
Stop chatting, Ben. Just a reminder.
And don't forget the Secret Santa at 7.
Davina, can you sum up how you've changed? You know, because we can tell you how we think you've changed. I think one of the big things for me, I remember those early Zoom calls, and you could tell that you kind of wanted to be alcohol-free, but you wouldn't say it out loud. And I think it's because you didn't quite believe that you could do it. You're nodding, which is great. But now you know that you can. And I think it's the confidence and the positivity that I think outsiders looking in see that shines through in terms of your transformation. But how would you sum it up yourself?
I don't know what to say. If I think about it, I'm just shocked. I can't believe, I mean, what I've told you, where I was and how, I don't know who that person is. I really have no idea who that person is. And I just always say, isn't it, I wish I'd done it years ago. So it's like, it is the world's best kept secret. So, and actually I know I like me for me, and flaws and all, and taking a piss out of Shaz at every available opportunity, because I will just keep doing it, Shaz.
You can't
kick me out of the community now. You can't. I am in the inner circle.
We're stuck with a really bad bloody stuck.
I'm delighted to be stuck with
yeah,
you.
Me too. I love that chat. That was brilliant. And I knew Davina would be with great value. And I knew she'd be really, really inspiring for you to listen to. The amount of, can I swear? Just swear a little bit. The amount of piss taking. You hear all that? Seriously, Ben?
Yeah, I joined in at one point as well. Sorry about that,
yeah,
Sharon.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's just, It's you just because you're so jolly.
Is that what
you're
it is?
So open and so friendly. And I'm now trying to dig myself out of this.
Yeah, you keep going. In fact, on the premium pod, which I think could well be out alongside this episode, we talked about how I was described at school by my head teacher on a school report at primary. Cheerful and chatty, I think were the words.
Cheerful and chatty. It literally, your school teacher nailed. I mean, that just shows you, doesn't it? That, you know, nature plays a huge part. Forget this whole nature versus nurture debate.
Absolutely.
You've always been Sharon Hartley, cheerful and chatty.
Cheerful and chatty, full stop. See ya.
We have loved recording this episode with Davina. We love every single guest. As Shaz said in the intro, we feel incredibly privileged to speak to some amazing people on this podcast. We do love it. We've got a soft spot for our community member
100%.
Episodes, haven't we?
Yeah.
As we said in the middle as well, if you want to join us, overtheinfluence.co.uk. Don't worry about saying forever. If you're sober curious, you don't have to say forever. But you know what? We'd love you to give 100 days a go. Or you know what? Could 2023 be a sober year?
Who knows?
A full year without alcohol. Davina's well over the year now and absolutely smashing it. And like she said, there's been events that she's gone to, her 50th birthday gigs. She hasn't found a good reason to drink yet, so she's not.
If it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for you planting that 100-day seed and she was really quite, right, fine, okay, fine, I'll try it. Mm. And because we have seen this time and time and time again, and because I know we sound like stuck records, it's a tipping point. It's a massive tipping point. If you get to 100 days and go, it's not for me, c'est la vie, not a problem. Or it's just 100 days. That's all it is. In the grand scheme of life itself, it's absolutely nothing. But I've yet to see anybody anyway, Ben, that's ever said what a load of rubbish that was. It's much easier then to look forward than it is to look back. So Davina's got you to thank for that, planting that 100-day seed. What a woman. Absolutely brilliant stuff.
We hope you've had a fabulous Boxing Day. We hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode of Over the Influence. Oh, Shaz, it's a whole week until another episode of Over the Influence
Boo!
Comes out. No, it's not, because the Dry January special is coming out in just a few days.
Yay!
So keep your ears peeled for more OTI coming to you in the Christmas gooch.
Oh,
between Christmas and New Year.
Don't. Please.
Don't Google it.
Don't Google
don't
it.
Don't Google it.
Do
like,
not.
Know, I think I first saw that phrase, because obviously people call it the gap, don't they, a lot? The gap between Christmas and New Year. But it was Bongo's Bingo who called it the Christmas Gooch. And it stuck with me.
And
it
stuck with me now, though. And I did make the mistake of... I did
saying
type
it on
in...
air at BBC Radio Lancashire. Oh, sorry. Good, good. what are you doing in the gooch? Right, let's go.
Oh, I feel a little bit sick. Right, stop. If you want more information about the community, overtheinfluence.co.uk. And if this isn't enough for you, one episode a week. This next week's is coming a little bit earlier, as Ben just said. You can subscribe to the premium podcast and... Blimey, it is full of premium AF content. And that is at overtheinfluence.supercast.com. We could be coming in your ears twice a week. And what a treat for the new year that would be. Thank you so much for listening. As always, it's a pleasure. And speak to you very soon.